This is The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle. News and information. I'm Bill Radke. Glad you've tuned in today. It was just a couple of years ago that Jenny Henderson learned the full story of her grandfather's death. His name was Fred Goree. He was her mom's dad, and he was manager of a Negro League baseball team. And one night in 1925, he and some team members were driving through Ferguson, Missouri, in his new Buick.
And he was pulled over by the police for speeding. He commented to the officer that he wasn't speeding because the traffic wouldn't allow that. And he was pulled out of his car. He was accused of driving a stolen vehicle. And reportedly, he and the officer had some words. He was accused of being an uppity N-word, and I think it came to blows. Somehow they ended up in the ditch. And the police officer pulled out his baton and beat my grandfather severely in his head and probably other areas of his body as well until he was passed out in the ditch. The officer called to one of the other officers to hold the other team members at bay in the car, and that officer pulled his gun and pointed it at the other team members so that they couldn't come to Fred's rescue. And then the one officer announced that he was going to finish off my grandfather, and he shot him and left him in the ditch. And to my understanding, he then took the car and drove around on a joyride after that.
Today, Jenny is a licensed mental health counselor here in Seattle, and she told Jeannie Yandel how her grandfather's murder has reverberated through her family, starting with her own mom, who never really talked about what happened.
My mom may have mentioned it on just a handful of occasions. But when she told us about what happened to her dad, she didn't really show emotion about it. It was just a matter-of-fact comment in passing. And as a child, I didn't understand the gravity of what had happened to her. And really, to be honest, I was too self-absorbed to spend much time thinking about it. So I knew this had happened. But partly because of my own attitude and being self-absorbed, and also because of the way my mom told the story, just in bits and pieces without feeling behind it, I didn't really spend too much time on it. I didn't have any understanding of what that meant for her and what it meant for her family and how it impacted the way she parented and the way she was with us as a family.
Well, now you do know what happened to your mom's family after your grandfather was killed.
Fred Goree was the oldest of 13 children. He was a breadwinner for the family. He was stability for the family, and many, many relatives leaned on him. So when he was murdered, the family then spiraled into severe poverty. It was the Depression, and he'd been earning a good living, not only as a manager of that baseball team, but also as a bricklayer. And so without that income, the family was devastated financially and emotionally.
Well, Jenny, you also said that learning about your grandfather helped you better understand your mom. It helped you better understand her as a parent. What did you mean by that?
My mom had a lot of challenges in many of her relationships. We saw her vacillate from being very warm at times with some distant relationships or with strangers. But within the family, there was a consistent lack of emotion there that was demonstrated to my dad, that was demonstrated to us. And we didn't really understand why my mom was as cold as she was. But now that I have the insight and the knowledge of the story of Fred and what happened to him and the impact on the family, I understand that in order to protect herself and to protect her heart, she really had to remain detached. She could not let herself feel too deeply, because of the pain that she'd experienced and that severe loss.
Have you had conversations with your mom about this?
No, Definitely not. My mom passed away about 11 years ago. And I don't really know that it was a conversation we could have had. It certainly wasn't one that was comfortable for me. And to be honest, I don't know that she would have been able to open up and share her true feelings with me either. And I won't have an opportunity to find out, unfortunately.
I'm talking with Jenny Henderson. She's a licensed mental health counselor here in Seattle. She moved here from the Midwest a few years ago. And Jenny, I'm wondering where you think your grandfather's death shows up in your life now. You talked about understanding how it showed up for your mom as an adult. Where do you think it shows up for you?
It gives me an even deeper sense of understanding and compassion for those who have lost loved ones in similar circumstances. And it helps me to understand the need for showing compassion and love consistently to my son. I shower him with those qualities that I didn't receive as a child. And some of that understanding even goes beyond words. It's just on an emotional level that I feel I more completely understand now.
Is there an image or an exchange with your son that springs to mind when you talk about that?
I don't have a particular image in mind, but I do really try to be patient with him and allow him to express himself in the time he's comfortable with, instead of insisting that he talk about these issues at the moment I want him to. I seize those teaching moments that are brought up maybe as we watch the news or as we watch a movie together or whenever they spring up. And we talk about it then just in tiny little bits and pieces that he can try to digest. Anything more than that is clearly overwhelming to him. And I just allow him to have that space to take it in, to be supported, to be validated, and then to move on to something else.
You talked about teaching moments that you see when you're watching the news with your son, when you're watching movies with your son. What are the conversations that you and he have when you are watching the news and there is another story about a man of color being killed by police officers?
The conversations are very brief because that's really all he's able to have at this time. And often the conversation is one-sided. It's me providing him with validation, with compassion, with sharing my concerns for his safety. But he often shuts down emotionally. And he's told me in other circumstances that he doesn't want me to worry about him, so he doesn't bring up certain things. And I think this might be one of those topics that he chooses to stay quiet about because he sees the emotion in me and the impact it has on me and how concerned I am for him and his safety. What I would like him to take away from the story of my grandfather is to know that it's very important for him to live his life, to make the choices he feels are right for him, and to do those things that he loves doing and is passionate about, regardless of what's happening in the world. I want him to know that he comes from greatness and that he has a reason, many, many reasons, to be proud of who and what he is, and that he can't live his life in fear because that will only hold him back.
Since this is something you do in your work, you look at how trauma affects people, the mental health impacts of trauma. What do you think we're missing when it comes to the impact of men of color being killed by police? As you and I talked about earlier, the way the media covers it is in this very, this just happened, and then everybody appears to move on.
Right.
What are we missing when we talk about these shootings in that sort of immediate way?
I think not everybody understands the depth of the pain that we hold inside and the impact of that trauma, whether it's a family member, a neighbor, or somebody we see on the news. it's a very personal thing because it impacts how we see ourselves, how other people see us, and the human value within how we're perceived. We want to be perceived as valuable, as worthy, as capable, as good people, just like anybody else. But this type of trauma breaks us down in many ways. It breaks us down and makes us question ourselves and our self-worth. It breaks down other people's perceptions of who and what we are. And it's a pain that we carry around with us, and there's really no relief from it. Even if we talk about it, even if we share it and address it and process it in therapy, there really is no relief because it's ongoing. And I may hear about some of the stories on the news, but I'm not hearing about all of it because there's just too much, too many. I can't remember the names. It's ongoing. We're constantly bombarded with this. And as soon as we think we've caught our breath, there's another news story and another news story. So it is incredibly impactful. This is something that ripples through the communities, through families, nationwide, worldwide, and the impact continues for years. We may not always understand the source of the impact, but we see it around us. We see it in the many traumatized people and the way they behave, how they do, the reactions they have to other people, the way they relate within their families, the way they parent, the way they work among their colleagues. The ripple effect is palpable, and it's constant, and it's ongoing, and there's very little chance to bounce back from it. And I'm not sure that everybody understands it on the level that African-American people and people of color understand it, because we feel it. We take it in. And it is very powerful and very painful in that way.
Jenny Henderson is now a licensed mental health counselor and a parent here in Seattle. Her grandfather, Fred Goree, was killed by a police officer in Missouri in 1925. She told the story to KUOW's Jeannie Yandel.